feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
I know your name is Rita, because your perfume is smelling sweet. Since when I saw you down on the floor.
And later on this hour, we will have an update from the National Transportation Safety Board, because they just came out with an update with some details about the crash of that container ship that slammed into the bridge in Baltimore, causing it to collapse, and some new details. There's a black box, just like you kind of have on a plane. And they got already some preliminary readings. We're going to talk about all of that and a lot more. Also, by the way, some big news from President Trump in a Fox News survey that they just released. This is the biggest lead that they have seen President Trump have over Joe Biden. It's now 5 points nationally in their 2024 White House race. People are fed up with the border. People are fed up with inflation, high prices. There are a number of issues that people say are the biggest. And number one, like it seems in every exit poll that we've covered here, and I've been with you guys as the results have been coming in all the time, it is the border and immigration over and over and over again, and also concern about safety and crime. So we are seeing that over and over, and it's happening in every single community. And a wild story tonight coming from Staten Island, where, as we were talking about what happened with Jonathan Diller, now there's the story of this retired NYPD cop who got into a car accident with another driver. And then suddenly the guy comes over to him wielding a machete. I mean, how crazy is that? Screaming at him and wielding a machete. It happened just before 9:30 a.m. in Staten Island, and the guy is a retired cop, a 50-year-old retired cop. He crashed into a vehicle with another guy, and then suddenly the other guy comes over, and police say the other guy was the aggressor. He comes over with a machete that he had in his hands, and he was threatening him. So the retired cop said he was worried for his safety, took out his gun, and hit the 45-year-old man in the torso. The guy was taken to a nearby hospital. He's expected to survive. Officers are not saying at this point where the charges could be. But I would think it's not appropriate to suddenly be wielding a machete. I hope this isn't going to be a Daniel Penny case where they said, oh, God, the guy shouldn't have shot him. I don't know. Why would he be worried just because somebody was waving a machete in front of him? I hope it's not another Daniel Penny part two. Hopefully, it looks like at this point they believe that the retired officer was concerned for his safety. Suddenly, a guy comes wielding a machete crazily in front of you. It's scary. And there's a lot of these like random cases. And this is a part of Staten Island in New York where it's been a reduction of crime in that area. It just seems like crime is touching all the areas now. And you certainly see these crazy random cases happening on New York subways. And so much so that a lot of people are turning to social media. Listen to these TikTokers. This is a group, mostly young women, who say that they have just been randomly punched in the face as they've been walking down the streets of New York. What a scary situation. They put this video together. Everybody's talking about it. Take a listen.
I literally just got punched by some man on the sidewalk. He goes, sorry, and then punches me in the head. Holy what the hell just happened? Oh my God.
So I just got punched in the face walking home. I was literally like leaving class. I turned the corner and I was looking down and I was looking at my phone and like texting, and then out of nowhere, this man just came up and hit me in the face. I'm like actually in shock right now. I'm just like walking home because what else do you do? But I just texted my friends being like, hi, I just got punched in the face. And then they sent me a TikTok of this other girl in New York who got punched in the face, and she was looking at her phone. And I don't know if this is like a thing that's going around, but I guess if you're in New York right now and you're walking while looking at your phone, maybe don't do that. Maybe head on a swivel. I guess we're gonna be super aware of our surroundings.
You guys, I was literally just walking and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground and now this giant goose egg is forming and I'm like, oh my God, it's so crazy.
How frightening is that? And you could see in their faces too, they're just horrified. They're terrified. Well, speaking of TikTok, some new updates about the crazy Venezuelan migrant. Remember who was advertising essentially how to be a squatter? I'm glad, by the way, that tonight we heard that DeSantis is saying there won't be squatting. We're going to be changing these squatting rules in Florida. There's no squatting in Florida. Bravo, DeSantis. Maybe you can do the same thing in New York, New York politicians, because, boy, some of these stories about squatters is crazy. And you're hearing about these migrants that are now making it sort of a business, like an industry. And a lot of them are turning to social media, like this guy. His name is Leonel Moreno. He calls himself, I guess he's a migrant influencer, right? Get this. He's on TikTok, an influencer. Apparently, he's got a whole bunch of followers. And he's the one that did that famous video where he was saying, hey, listen, squatters, here's a be on the lookout. I mean, I'm being facetious because he's signaling to the migrants, here's what you got to do. You got to go into these homes, take them over. And if you're not going to get a free home from the people, guess what? Just take them over. Be a squatter. And he claimed that he had buddies who were from Africa who had 7 homes. And he was just kind of giving tips to migrants on how to, like, you know, steal homes from law-abiding citizens. My goodness. So now it turns out that that guy who's right there, if you see the video, we're going to play it again because what he said is unbelievable, but he's seen full face. It's not like he's hiding or anything like that. Venezuelan national Leonel Moreno, he apparently now, it turns out, crossed the border illegally in April 2022 at Eagle Pass, Texas, of course. He was enrolled in the Alternatives to Detention program, which gives the feds the ability to track migrants through ankle monitors or other different technology. Apparently, what a surprise, this guy didn't follow the rules, and now he is listed as a, quote, absconder from the program, and he is said to be on the run, evading U.S. authorities. Well, maybe they should look at the video to see where he's standing, because he's standing apparently in front of a cop car near a police department in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, kind of hiding in plain sight, if you will. He also, by the way, claims that his wife and daughter get about $350 a week from the federal government. That's what he claims. If he was in New York, he might get more, because remember the New York program now with debit cards gives about that amount, if not a little bit more, too. And you also get a, you know, free hotel and all the other stuff, too, if you come to New York. But why would they come here for all the freebies, right? I mean, I don't know why they come to New York. I'm being facetious because it's a big old neon sign when you offer all these freebies. But maybe they should actually be looking for the guy in front of the police department, because apparently ICE is not aware of his location. Maybe they just need to go online and figure out he is hiding blatantly in plain sight, doesn't care. It just shows how emboldened and the cojones of these people. And here is that Venezuelan migrant who's evading authorities, but again, all over social media.
My people have thought about invading a house in the United States because I learned that there is a law that says that if a house is not inhabited, we can expropriate it. Northern Hoods here in the United States. Terrain deformation also applies. And I think that will be my next business. Invade abandoned houses. Since I have searched for some codes with my African friends and they told me that they already have about 7 expropriated houses. And as the saying daddy says, you have to look for the way back and forth right now is to invade houses, since we are in a street situation and it is the only way we have to avoid living on the street and not be a public burden.
Not be a public burden. It's a little too late for that. Like in New York City, $10 million a day, I'd say that's a public burden. You know, but let's steal law-abiding citizens' homes so then you won't be a public burden. Talk about the audacity of these people. And again, he supposedly is evading law enforcement. Maybe they should spend more time on social media. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Norm, line one. Norm, unbelievable. I mean, as we're dealing with crime, and then here's this migrant who apparently crossed the border illegally. ICE is looking for him, and he's all over talking about committing more crimes on social media.
You know, Rita, it's kind of interesting. It's something suspicious about that guy. Listen to his English. That guy's an American. I mean, or that guy's been living here for many, many years. I you know, his English is very articulate. It's non-accented. Something very strange with that story. That's all I have to say.
And by the way,
he
does have good, decent English. You know, you're right. You're right. You never know. I mean, who knows? You know, there are a lot of people in Venezuela who do speak English. Yeah. I've been down there. So who knows where he was educated? He seems also to be very manipulative. He seemed maybe somebody who, like, wanted to learn English so he could be a mover and shaker in the crime world.
Right. All right. The reason why I called you is, you know, searching for answers, how, you know, on how to prevent, you know, violent crime. I mean, to me, I think we should go back to what we had for like 100 years in our penal systems, which was basically chain gangs. I mean, used to be when you went to prison, you didn't lay around all day. You didn't just have a little job inside. You didn't have cable TV. You didn't get conjugal rights. They put you out every day, chained to your fellow inmate, and you went and you retarred the roads in the sun, and you did brickwork, or you tore up all the whatever foliage on the side of the roads, and you did that all day from sun up to sundown. I mean, you had your breaks, you had your meals, and then you went back to your, you know, nice air-conditioned, heated prison at night where you slept, and that was it. And then that would be repeated day after day after day after day. They need to make prisons a horrible place. Not necessarily inhumane, but pretty horrible, so that these, you know, men and little ladies don't want to go back there. And, you know, that's...
I think, by the way, I think they should have like a repeat offenders wing, Norm, you know, like, so you can step up, make the rock quarry a little more, a little deeper, you know, and make the day a little longer and make it like you just said. What about the good old days of like hard labor and all of that other stuff? You know, sometimes you hear these stories of some of the prisons where people, they just don't care about going to prison. Like you said, they say, they even brag about, oh, I got three square meals a day. I got this, I got that. They see their friends, they're hanging out. You know, not all prisons are like that, but a lot of them are. And I think you bring up a good point. And I also think it should be stepped. It should be staggered. Like those who are committing serious crimes, I think the time should be a little more difficult, you know? Maybe that sledgehammer needs to be a little heavier, you know, and maybe the ones who are the repeat offenders, maybe they have to carry two sledgehammers, you know. I'm not even being facetious. I think there needs to be some staggered approach, so it makes it so unappealing that they go, oh God, I don't want to go back there again. God, they worked my butt off. I don't want to go back there again. I don't know if we'll ever get there, Norm, but boy, I pray we do. Norm, thanks so much. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll continue right after the break.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
And we are talking about this crazy migrant influencer, Leonel Moreno, the one who is telling other migrants to invade homes, to squat in homes. He's apparently on the run from authorities. Maybe they should look on social media. By the way, the audio we heard, That is the translation over him. He was speaking in Spanish. You can kind of hear it in the background, but it was a translator over him, which is why the English was so good. But still, he does seem a little too cool for school, a little too slick. And talk about the cojones on this guy that he's out there telling others how to commit crimes. And it is like there are so many of these random crimes happening across the country. We talked about this crazy case that happened in Staten Island, New York, of a retired cop who had to shoot a machete-wielding man in a apparent looks like a road rage incident because he got into a car accident with him. And he says the guy came over to him and brought over a machete and started wielding it in front of him. I mean, how crazy is this? People are just on edge and people are concerned. So what are lawmakers going to do as opposed to just blowing smoke and saying, oh, everything's great. There's no crime. Nobody believes that. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Denise. Your thoughts, Denise.
Hi, Rita. Rita, I am furious, as you are, okay? But I'm going to be very honest with you. I haven't called in recently because, quite frankly, I think we've all been too complacent in letting this happen to our country. All of these Marxist, leftist wing lunatics, and I mean starting right at the top with Biden, all the way down, we have been talking about it, watching it happen, and politely standing back and making comments about it and saying, isn't this terrible? It's time to be proactive.
So
it's
what, you know, what do you, I, by the way, action. Yeah, what should we do, Denise? Because I agree.
Okay, I agree. Okay, all right. First of all, number one, we are too nice to take to violence, okay? And I'm not advocating violence, but I am advocating the fact, get out there and shut them up that you possibly can. When they're about to speak and you disagree with them, make your voice heard. I don't care where it is or what they're saying. Shut them down, okay? Go and elect. Get out there and elect your officials that believe in your beliefs.
Great
our
point.
Country,
go ahead, Denise, real quick.
Our country is being torn apart, and the only way to take it back is like Trump. Stand up for what you believe in. Fight back in any way possible.
And by the way, I hear you. Get out and vote, too. You can't be complacent. You got to stand up. It is good versus evil. And speak out.
Rita Cosby is on.
What Denise was just saying, that it is time to speak up because, boy, things are falling apart. And I wonder, where is the money for law-abiding citizens? Because this week, New York started distributing debit cards to the migrants. They're going to be giving about $350 per week to a family under the program. It's sort of a new test pilot program. You just heard this other guy, the migrant influencer on TikTok, bragging about getting $350 from the feds. So how is this going to inspire people to not come to New York? And also, President Biden, there's word he may hand out green cards to 4,000 illegal migrants per year, and that may just be the beginning. And of course, then there are places like New York City where the city council and others are pushing to have non-citizens, those with green cards, like we just talked about, to be able to vote in local elections. You see where all this is headed. This is a mess. And here is what Congresswoman Claudia Tenney has to say about this new debit card program that's going to migrants, but not going to, what about homeless veterans and others?
Giving people money to do nothing is never going to work for our economy, as we know. That's our biggest problem upstate. We keep giving out more and more money for people not to work. And in upstate New York, we can't find people to do the jobs we need to get the output we need to get the growth so that we can actually pay some of the debt that we have. That's part of the problem.
And it's just like accountability, like the whole issue as we're talking about migrants. I mean, my goodness, you think about the fact the White House apparently hasn't even called Lake and Riley's family. Remember, she was killed by that illegal, the guy from Venezuela, just like Leonel Moreno, the TikToker. And that guy, Jose Ibarra, crossed the border illegally. He and his brother are tied to Tren de Aragua, the big Venezuelan gang, the ruthless gang. Nice group of folks, huh? Thank you, Mr. President. And yet he still hasn't even called Lake and Riley's family, and he's made apologies after calling her killer illegal, because it's not nice to call murderers illegal. And so today, Corinne Jean-Pierre was asked about Officer Jonathan Diller, asked about what happened and the repeat offender. And listen to the way she responded. She was asked in the White House, again, she's the White House press secretary for Biden, and it's almost like a repeat pattern here. Listen to this one.
Relates to the death of the officer. Look, our hearts go out to this officer who tragically lost his life in the line of duty. We're also praying for his family during this difficult time, who now has an empty seat at their dinner table. President Biden is deeply grateful for the sacrifices police officers make to keep our community safe. This shooting is yet another painful reminder of the toll of gun violence, that what it's doing to inflict on families and our communities and our nation. And that's why the president signed more than two dozen executive actions. That's why we're able to pass a bipartisan agreement to deal with the gun violence that we're seeing in this country. Obviously, more work needs to be done. We need Congress to continue to act on making sure that our communities are safe. Again, our hearts go out to this officer and his family. It's a difficult time for them.
First off, it would have been nice for her to name the officer. And second of all, she's blaming gun violence for his death. Like the gun magically ends up in a criminal's hand, as opposed to career criminals who never should be out to begin with. When are we going to hear them actually condemn these repeat offenders as opposed to bailing out people like they did? Remember Kamala Harris pushing for the Minnesota Freedom Fund? Those were the protesters in Minneapolis. Remember that one? That was a real doozy. So what is it going to take? My goodness, these people are so out of touch. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Sean, line three in North Carolina. Sean, your thoughts about all this?
I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I got out of that mess.
Oh, you are? All right. So Sean from Brooklyn. Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, but no, I mean, well, I moved. So anyway, first of all, it's a disgrace what she just said, the press secretary. Laws. There's more than enough laws to go from here to the moon. Okay? Stop the nonsense. That's one. Number two. Second of all, the point that the guy made about prisons, yes, you got to make them where you never want to go back. And three, the lies from the media have turned, it's not political, it's the media that has turned our country upside down. Because when you lie to the public, and the three incidents that put the fire in our country ablaze was the King incident in L.A., okay, and then the Floyd incident, and then the Kentucky incident. First of all, the King incident, he had been beating the cops, was never reported to the media before the video started rolling. That's why they were using the batons on him, because they couldn't get close to him, because he had already assaulted three officers.
Let's fast forward, so here.
Fast forward, the Kentucky incident a couple of years ago, the multiple witnesses heard the police announce before they went through the door, and the criminal inside opened fire, and they tried to blame that on the cops? That was a lie, okay? That's another lie, and it sets our country on fire. When you lie, the public believes it because the liberals get their facts from CNN. Oh, my God, the police are racist. Those lies have turned our country upside down. Not to today. Okay, first of all, the criminal justice system has been taken over by liberals. Okay, so that's why that piece of dirt was free. Because the liberals don't want law enforcement. And this is for all the liberal listeners in this nation. Our planet works by rules and regulations. There is no country in the on the earth who doesn't have regular law enforcement department. So this notion that we want to abolish the police is false. And I wish they would stop reporting it. Okay. So to fast forward to today, this is why you have the incidents that keep happening. Okay. You have to take away the New York State Parole Board that let these pieces of garbage out. You need to remove the parole board. You need to not have human beings playing God and going, oh, I'll let you out. I'll let you out. Oh, okay, you've been arrested 30 times, but I'm going to let you out anyway. They have dozens of cop killers who have already been freed because these liberals don't live in reality, okay? And the fact that they call, they keep saying the Julian, like on Real Time with Bill Maher, the guy Max, he's pretty powerful guy. He's a big liberal. He's Max Brooks, I think his name is. He's Albert Brooks' son.
Yes, yep. Go ahead, yep.
He said to Bill Maher, and it burned me, and I shut the TV off. Oh, God, we don't want to go back to the Giuliani days. Oh, my God, that's horrible. Those big, bad policemen who stop people. That is the liberal mindset that gets these criminals let out of jail.
Absolutely. Okay. And by the way, did you hear what I said also at the beginning of the show, Sean? I don't know if you heard, but the New York Assembly Speaker, Carl Hasty, was asked, this is on retail crime. It's a pretty easy thing. Governor Hochul, a Democrat governor, saying, listen, as we're dealing with all this stuff, you know, with the budget and the spending package and all that, I would like to have some assurances that at least the retail folks in retail, that guess what, tougher penalties for a tax on.
And where are my black and Hispanic
but you know what's amazing? He didn't want it. He said, you know what? We don't want to put people behind bars. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean,
That's my point.
They are clueless. I agree with you, Sean. They are so clueless.
Blind eye to criminal behavior. And where are my black callers and Hispanic callers or speaking out against these two thugs that murdered this guy? Well, where are they? Where's the black community?
Well, I agree, by the way. And Sean, listen, though, I don't think this is not a racial issue to me. This is a good versus evil, because we had good guys like our law enforcement that came upon these people. And everybody who supports law and order should be speaking out, no matter what your race, color, creed. But you're right. It's like, how clueless are these people? And Sean, I hope to God when these people come up for election next time that they don't get voted back in. I mean, who actually, I don't know a single person that says this is a good formula, because whatever stupid social experiment they were having, it ain't working, right, Sean? It ain't working.
Liberals need to realize, yes, police can stop people. Okay? Every civilized society has rules and regulations and the people who enforce those rules and regulations. Nobody wants to get a ticket. No one likes being stopped by the police. It's annoying. But you have to realize, the public has to realize, sometimes it happens.
Absolutely.
And then a lot of the people crying out about being stopped, especially like the point I made on the Bill Maher show, Max Brooks, so horrible Giuliani days. Giuliani was doing his job.
Absolutely.
Why do they keep
absolutely. But you know what? They look at it, like you said, they look at it as overbearing. We look at it with clear eyes and common sense that it is protecting the community, law and order. And that's what this mindset needs to wake up. And these people need to realize that this is not the way a civil society. And we need some of those great techniques that Giuliani used. I don't care if they're considered overbearing or whatever. If they're going to keep the community safe, it is time to get tough because this city is falling apart. And you know Brooklyn very well. I was born in Brooklyn, Sean. So, you know, I love that community. I love this community. And guess what? America, we all need to wake up because this isn't just happening in New York. It's happening in every city. And you look at the Giuliani playbook, it was working back then. So guess what? We need to go back to it again. 1,000%. We're going to talk more about this after the break, everybody. 1-800-848-9222. Sean, I love your call and I love your passion and I love your appreciation for this country. And now to our Support Our Heroes segment.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment from the great Tunnel to Towers Foundation, T2T.org. And this is a great story from Auburn, Alabama, where a cherished centenarian and veteran, Ambers Hansen, received commendations from the Alabama State Legislature for his unwavering dedication to serving his country, community, and family. Representatives from Alabama State extended their highest praises to Hansen, highlighting his remarkable personal and professional achievements throughout his lifetime in a proclamation. Just to give you a little background, the veteran's journey of service began in 1942 when he left high school to serve as a radio operator on B-17 and B-24 aircraft during World War II. Despite facing adversity, including surviving a plane crash and participating in 25 bombing missions over Europe, Hansen returned to complete his education, earning a degree in agricultural economics from Auburn University. Now, Hansen is celebrating, get this, his 101st birthday this July, and he was asked to share his advice for a fulfilling life. His answer was very simple and very clear. And boy, is it timely. He said, you have to have respect and love for each other. What a great, great message and a powerful message from a man with a life well lived and also a great American hero. And how beautiful that the state of Alabama has been heralding this great member of the greatest generation. And everybody, be sure to support America's military and our brave first responder heroes. All you have to do is donate $11 a month to the great Tunnel to Towers Foundation. They do so much to help those who have been seriously injured, those also their families who are left behind. Some amazing stories of what they do each and every day. These people are incredible. Go to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at T2T.org, T2T.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
And just a quick update. Sadly, a little bit ago, we learned that they found the bodies of two construction workers. They were found in a red pickup truck in 25 feet of water there, of course, when that big ship, that container ship, slammed into the Baltimore Bridge. And what we're hearing is, remember last night we were talking about some of the vehicles that were on the bridge, that the vehicles that we saw on the bridge that were sitting there, that's where the construction workers were sitting in, that apparently six construction workers were sitting in different vehicles there on their breaks. They were doing the potholes, and they found two bodies, sadly, in a red pickup truck in the water. Sadly, they have still also not been able to locate another four construction workers, but most of them were sitting in the vehicles and were not aware of what, of course, was about to happen. We are hearing that they did at least put out some warnings, the ship. They didn't have a lot of time, but it did at least stop some of the traffic from going over the bridge. Thank goodness, because it could have been even worse. And we're also hearing that they got the black box from the ship, and it talks about how they lost power and that they were trying to figure out what was going on because it was a catastrophic power loss, at least so far. And they're still looking at the details. By the way, on the ship, it had 764 tons of hazardous materials because those containers that we saw on the container ship were filled with many hazardous materials. And just a little bit ago, here's the head of the NTSB talking about what some of those materials were.
The cargo manifest, we did bring in one of NTSB's senior hazmat investigators today to begin to look at the cargo and the cargo manifest. He was able to identify 56 containers of hazardous materials. That's 764 tons of hazardous materials, mostly corrosives, flammables, and some miscellaneous hazardous materials, class 9 hazardous materials, which would include lithium-ion batteries.
And needless to say, some of these materials are leaking into, of course, the ocean, and they're still waiting to get more details, of course, as to what happened. Apparently, the bridge, too, didn't have a structural sort of a backup. They call it sort of like they usually have like sort of like redundancy in the structures, some of the newer structures. This bridge did not have it. So in other words, when it got hit on one of the main structures, one of the main pylons, that automatically it would cause the collapse. It didn't have any other sort of bearing or give, where some of the newer structures have some more flexibility to it and more standards to it. And this one did not. It was built in 1976. And they said a number of big bridges across the country don't have some of these redundancies. So this is a big wake-up call in so many ways. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Tony, line 5. Tony, your thoughts.
Rita, what a great show tonight. I don't know what I could possibly say to add to it, but this is what my thoughts are tonight. Many people ask the question, why? You know, why isn't anyone fixing anything? Or Norman said, this is how they should fix the jails, and this is what we need to do, and this is what we need to say. But I think, Rita, underlying everything is that in this party who's in charge of our country right now, there's a really systemic problem, and it's psychological. And I was reading, it says that history shows that societies collapse when leaders undermine social contracts. And we have been undermined. This party has undermined our country, and this regime has got to go.
Yeah, I hear you, because I feel like in many ways they are selling out our country. I can't believe how open our border is. I can't believe these criminals that keep going back out on the streets. Tomorrow is the wake for Jonathan Diller, that brave NYPD officer. Keep his family and him in your prayers.